Hello everyone, this is your host, Cobra Number One, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org, exposing racism and white supremacy for exactly what it is so that you and your loved ones can navigate this nasty, stinking, wretched, disgusting system. The purpose of this podcast is to eliminate all confusion in regards to racism and what it is, so that those who are classified as black are no longer confused. We broadcast weekly, Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. Inform any black person that you think that may be remotely interested in countering racism or what we're doing. Spread the word. We find this show to be necessary because before a problem can be solved, it has to be identified and understood. And too many black people do not understand racism. Visit us at CobrasInAction.org, a website dedicated to countering racism and replacing it with justice. We are doing some updating to the site, but it will soon be your destination for everything counter-racism. We have two new podcasts, Flex Talk, a podcast dedicated to improving the physical, mental, and spiritual health of black people, and Urugu, an analysis of white people. We do Flex Talk on Sundays from 10 to 12 midnight, and Urugu is not on a set schedule, but just go to CobrasInAction.org, click the menu tab, then click on podcasts to listen to any of the shows. Today we are going to discuss violence, the utility of violence, and black people's relationship to violence and the system of racism, white supremacy. So let's take a quick station break, and when we come back, we're going to get into today's topic. You are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. Be back.
Backlash from people about that. Would you change it, what you said, or you still feel the same way? What's your thought on Black Lives Matter?
What is it? What do you mean?
The idea is that there's this movement called Black Lives Matter, thinking that the rest of America didn't seem to understand that Black Lives Matter.
It just sounds weird. I don't know that you put a name on. It's not a name. It's not whatever. It's somebody got shot by police and for a reason. I am a young black rich if that don't let you know that America understand black matter these days, I don't know what it is. Don't come at me with that dumb man. My life matter, especially to my.
Do you separate yourself from it?
I don't feel connected to a damn thing that ain't got nothing to do with me. If you do, you crazy. You connected to this flag, right? As I'm connected, I'm a gangbanger, man. I'm connected.
He ended our interview angrily.
Politician.
Lil Wayne is in the business of making music, not apology.
If an officer stops you, always be polite. And never ever run away. Promise mama you'll keep your hands inside. Is it a gun? Is it a knife? Is it a wallet? This is your life. It ain't no secret. It ain't no secret. No secret, my friend. You can get killed just for living in your American skin.
This is the problem with black people. I don't think any kind of singing, dancing, jumping up and down, waiting for some mythical, magical appearance from something out of the sky, I don't think any of that is going to stop you from getting smacked in the mouth. You get smacked, you get punched, you get kicked in the mouth, You smack, punch, and kick back. Period.
Victims Guaranteed Qualification, VGQ.
You got to I'm here to tell you that the only way you're going to stop police brutality is you got to stand up and be brutal with this damn beast. You got to step to this cracker or it will never stop.
To the show. I am your host, Cobra Number One, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on cobrasinaction.org. So today we are talking about the utility of violence. Before I get into the discussion, I just want to say that this is not any kind of call to take direct violent action against any government or white people as a whole or anything like that. For black people, having even come close to exhausting all peaceful means of ending our oppression. It would be foolish of anyone to suggest that in 2016, black people should take up arms to end mistreatment. It would be a slaughter. And there really isn't any evidence which suggests that racism can't be countered without the usage of all-out violence. Today, what I will be discussing is more of an assessment of black people's relationship with the concept of violence as a whole. God has given all of us life, and it is your responsibility to protect and defend it. If your children are being attacked and you can do something about it, you do something about it. You don't sit there and you don't wait for some mythical magical being or something to intervene from the sky. That's foolish. If you have an opportunity to protect your child or yourself for that matter, or any of your loved ones, you do so. It's your responsibility to defend your space. Folks, God is in violence. God is in violence. God is in everything. Anything that you can conceptualize, anything that you can conjure up in that brain of yours, God is in it. God is of it. Why? Because God is creation. Anything, any possibility has been created for you, and God is creation. So God is in everything, including violence. Violence is a tool. It is neither good nor bad. It's neither good nor bad. People can use it for bad reasons, and many people do. But violence in and of itself is neither good nor bad. It is what it is. Like I said, God is in violence because God has given us an ability to be violent, So it is a tool that can be used. Not protecting yourself, not doing what you can to protect and defend that which God has given you, is a grave disrespect to God, punishable by death. God has given you life, and you are very lucky. Very, out of all of the organisms you could have been, you are a human being. The most sophisticated of all of the other animals on the planet. I don't know how many species of animals there are, millions probably. And just think, you could have been a roach, you could have been a rat, you could have been any of the other animals, but you are a human being. And guess what else? The fact that you are alive, never mind what you are, but the fact that you are alive, that in and of itself is a gift. All right. But with that gift, there is a lot of responsibility that comes with being alive and having a decent, productive, meaningful life, whatever you are. And you don't want to just exist, but you want to do so in comfort. The idea is to be as comfortable as possible during your time here, whether you are a human being or a hyena or a dog, it does not matter. Living things do not like pain. Living things do not like discomfort. And living things like to be in control, master of their space, master of their destiny. God has made us this way. And part of achieving all of those things as best we can is we have to learn how to protect ourselves and defend our space, because others, whether we're talking other human beings or you know, animals, you know, our space at different times in our life is subject to being violated by others. Rather, those others be other people or, you know, if we're out in the wildlife somewhere and, you know, we're on a camping trip and things go wrong and you run up against a bear or whatever, you may be challenged. You know, all types of diseases strike people. It takes effort to protect ourselves, you know, whether it be from humans, whether it be from animals, whether it be from diseases. You know, it takes effort to eat correctly. It takes effort to go out and exercise. What am I saying? I'm saying that In order to maintain a life that's worth living, you have to put in effort. And so part of that includes protecting yourself, because in this life, at certain points, you have to protect yourself. And that may mean using violence. And you better be comfortable with that. Reports indicate that there may have been an opportunity for some of the non-church members in South Carolina to stop Dylan Storm Roof. A couple of reports that I have come by recently, because like I said a couple of weeks ago, I did not pay close attention to the details in this case up until recently, and I was just surprised to learn this. But the reports are saying that at a certain point, Dylan Storm Roof ran out of bullets and he had to reload. And my understanding is that there was an opportunity to tackle this cracker down and to pin him down to the ground and stop him from harming more people. And my understanding is that this opportunity was not taken up on. It was not used. Why not? An opportunity like that is as close to God directly intervening you're going to get. Now, whether or not you take the opportunity and run with it, that's on you. So obviously I wasn't there, but hopefully those people did not lack the self-respect to get up and to bum rush him and pin him down. Hopefully, you know, for the sake of their own dignity, they did not have a chance to stop him. Because if they had a chance to stop him, that makes the whole situation even worse. That makes it even more worse. Because now we're saying that we don't even have enough self-respect to protect ourselves, even when there's a golden opportunity to do so and stop the violence, which could be the difference between life and death. And in this case, it absolutely was. You have to protect yourself, because if you don't, in some instances, it's punishable by death. Look at the Native Americans. The Native Americans were friendly and naive. They should have been cautious when they dealt with the Spanish. You see, God has given us a brain and he's given us a mind. We have to use it. We should know that when we're dealing with other people, when we're dealing with other people that have minds of their own and that have an ability to use violence, we don't know what they're going to use that. You know, we don't know what, you know, and if we don't know what their intentions are, we have to prepare for the worst. That's just having self-respect. That's just having an understanding of human nature. That's having an understanding of how precious life really is and how it can be taken just like that. You always want to be safe and to just welcome strange people, people you do not know about, you have no clue of, you don't know what their interests are, just to welcome them and to, you know, just show yourself completely, all of your vulnerabilities. This is not done with the idea of protecting oneself and or one's people being in mind. It just isn't. It's risky. It's too risky. The Native Americans were too naive with the Spanish. And look at what happened. Most of them within like a 10-year period ended up perishing to European diseases and to European violence. They were too naive. They were naive when they should have been cautious. Instead of treating Europeans with so much hospitality African people should have protected themselves and used every resource to figure out the Europeans' intentions and the Europeans' ability to force their will on African people. We did the same thing. That's the point. African people did the same thing. Too naive. Not having enough sense, enough self-respect maybe, to take all the precautions necessary to make sure that these new people, if they had the wrong intentions, that we would be able to defend ourselves against them. Maybe we were too naive. Maybe we were just stupid and we're not aware of the global geopolitical climate. But that's the point. Part of protecting yourself is that you do the homework. Use all the resources you need to understand these new trading partners. Who are they? What are they? They have the propensity as a people to do what? What has been their collective action, over the past 150, 200 plus years? You see, this stuff takes effort, but you engage in the effort. You take on the responsibility of finding these things out if you have enough respect for yourself to protect yourself. You put the work in. You don't ever want to put yourself in a situation where you are vulnerable to other people. You appear here on the planet, you've been given life, but it's your ability to protect yourself and your space so that you are not subject to mistreatment from others. And the Native Americans and African people did not do this when they became involved with Europeans. And that is why we are in the situation. That is why we are in the predicament we are in right now in 2016. There's not anything godly about a group of people allowing themselves to continuously be physically mistreated. It's cowardly. Forgiving in and of itself is not godly. Black people are very, very big on forgiving everything. Now that Dylan Storm Roof has been found guilty, there are black people writing articles trying to encourage other black people to be of the mindset to forgive him and to, this whole idea of when they go low, we go high. No, that is not godly. That is just foolish. That's why black people get smacked around, because we can't. We can get smacked around. And white people know that many of us are like little punching bags. And that, you mistreat a black person, more than likely, the system of white supremacy will use all the necessary tools to protect white people. And then you'll have black people signing off on it as well. Oh, we need to forgive. Turn the other cheek. I think that's disgusting. And that's why black people are not respected. You see, if a white person does physical harm to a black person, you will have many black people stepping up and not necessarily taking the side of the white person. But, when it comes time to punish that white person, many black people step up and talk against it, like how they're doing Dylan Storm Roof. This man innocently killed 9 people in a church. It should be a no-brainer. He admitted to it. Death, period. Black people, we got to turn the other cheek, and we don't want to. When they go low, we go high. First Lady Michelle Obama When they go low, we go high. No, ma'am. Absolutely not. Because there's this thing called self-respect. And people have to know there are consequences for harming, for undermining other people's space, other people's humanity. As a human being, you have the right to not be touched, to not be mistreated, to not be physically harmed. And people have to know that there are consequences for physically harming other human beings with no kind of cause, for no reason other than reasons that are selfish and that are not agreeable. You see, forgiving in and of itself is not godly. You know, black people are not respected. And instead of looking to our oppressors to protect us, it would be more respecting of ourselves if we looked to develop our own mechanisms of defense and justice. You have this case in Texas where a mother's son allegedly was caught littering on their neighbor's lawn. The neighbor is a white man. He came out and he confronted the child and he choked the child. All right. The mother finds out. She calls the police. The police comes out. White supremacy kicks in just like that. White police officer, white neighbor, niggas. And so the mom is like, hey, you know, this white man choked my child out. He shouldn't have done that. And then the police officer was like, well, your child should not have been littering. Excuse me. That white man did not have any right whatsoever to put his hand on that child, period. But you see, the white police officer immediately began to take the side of the white racist. Then the woman says what I just said. Hey, he doesn't have no right putting his hands on my child. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but pretty much she said he doesn't have any right to put his hands on my child. And the police officer said, why not? Telling the mother, you should have taught your child better. Your child should not be littering. You see how that works, folks? This is what happens when you're not honest. You're not honest about the system you are living in. Here you are needing protection. There's that word again, protection. But you're too lazy. You don't have enough, I don't know, political will. You don't have enough self-respect to bypass your oppressors, not depending on them for your protection, and coming up with your own protection mechanisms as a people. This is what we need to do. I'm not aware of any time in history where a group of oppressed people were awarded their freedom for singing nice little songs or dancing their hearts out or for yelling their lungs out or for crying their oppressors a river. This has never happened, folks. It costs to be free. It's not just given to you. And as black people, we have not truly understood this idea. It's not just given to you. We are expecting white people to just one day wake up and say, oh, you know what? I really don't want to be a white supremacist anymore. I really don't want to mistreat black people. We are expecting white people to do this. It's not going to happen, folks. A white person is not going to wake up and say, you know what? You know, I don't want to mistreat Negress. I don't want the benefits of being a white supremacist. I don't want to have a God complex anymore. I want to be equal. I want to live in perfect harmony with my black friends. White people are not going to say that. White people are not going to do that. Black people continuously, collectively think that at some point this will happen, that they will just see. Oh, they will understand your pain if you just sing in this key. Sing in this key and hold the note for this long. Then they will be able to feel your pain through the music, you know, and then they will have that aha moment. Oh, that's what they're saying. Oh, they don't like being mistreated. Oh, yeah. Now I understand. Good nigra. Nice nigra. They're not going to do that. They are your friend. They like you being in second place. They're your friend. They will deal with you. They will put up with you as long as you are comfortable being second fiddle to them. Period. And I'm saying personally, I ain't with that. I don't want to play second string to nobody. It's called self-respect, folks. We are equal. But I don't know if black people really truly think that. I do not know, given our behavior. Did the Cubans, most of whom were African, did they cry to the Spanish for their freedom? You see, the Cubans, they got rid of their oppressors. They were able to finally kick the Spanish out. It took a while, but they kicked them out. They used violence. They had to. Because, like I said, I'm not aware of any time in history where those that were oppressed were able to end their oppression by singing some cute, nice little melody. I don't think that has happened, folks. I really don't. Did the Haitians get on their hands and knees and beg the French to stop? Beg the French to stop whooping their asses and mistreating them? Oh, please stop. Oh, please. You're hurting me. You're hurting me. Did the Haitians do that? I don't think so. What did they do? They used violence. Back to my earlier point. Violence is neither good nor bad. It is a tool provided by God. See, God is creation, folks. Anything that you can, I can't stress this point enough. Anything that you can do is of God. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is everything. So violence, the collective action that we can take, all of the different actions that we can take, that's known that collectively make up the concept of violence. Well, this is possible. This has been provided to you from God, period. If creation didn't intend for it to be in existence, it would not be in existence. You have arms, you have feet, you can kick, punch, you have a mind, you can now think. You have the best mind amongst all of the other organisms and animals. You can outthink them and you can kill them and you can use them for vital nutrition, protein and what have you. But you can't just kill a bear with your bare hands. You have to outthink a bear. You have the ability. God has given you the ability to outthink a bear. So instead of going toe to toe with a bear, because most of us would lose. I mean, there are some accounts of some people wrestling bears with their bare hands, but you get what I'm saying. The great equalizer is the gun. Guns have to be produced. It takes brains to come up with all of the independent pieces and parts to make a gun, to design a gun, to design anything. It takes brain power, something you've been given. And you can use it for, you know, you can use your brain power to engage in violence. So if you can use it, maybe that means that within certain contexts, it's needed. I'll stop there. We're going to come back and We're going to continue the conversation. We're talking about violence and the utility of violence in the system of racism, white supremacy. We're talking about the relationship black people have with violence. So we're going to take a quick break, like I said, and I'll come back and we'll finish up. You are listening to The Barbershop right here on CobrasInAction.org. Be right back. The election of Donald Trump should leave no doubt in your mind as to whether or not white people are racist. All of them are racist, and all of them are practicing 24 hours, 7 days out of the week. Now you must learn how to counter white people and their racism. Go to www.cobrasinaction.org and start learning today what racism is, who's practicing it, and how it can be countered. Again, with the election of Donald Trump and all of the racists that he is appointing in his cabinet, in his government, there is no more time for guessing and trying to find good white people. There are no good white people when we're talking about racism. They're all practicing it. They all told you how scary Donald Trump was and how bad he would be for the country. Yet over 50 million of them voted for him. Over 50 million of them. That should let you know something. All of the feminists, all these white women that are supposed to be feminists, that were supposed to come out in droves and vote for Hillary Clinton, when they got behind the boots, they overwhelmingly voted for Donald Trump. Do not believe white people. They are lying. They are practicing refinement. What is refinement? Go to www.cobrasinaction.org and find out. Teach yourself about racism. Learn about racism so that you can counter it and replace it with justice. Welcome back to the show. I am your host, Cobra Number One, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. We are talking about the utility of violence. We are talking about Black people's relationship to violence. Violence has been used for good. Lifting yourself out of oppression is good because you are not meant to be oppressed. Many groups of people have used violence to lift themselves out of oppression. You are not meant to be oppressed as a human being. Human beings do not like their space, you know, how they use. How can I say? Human beings don't like their freedom being snatched away from them. Human beings like to have complete control of and also just complete integrity of their space. You don't want your space being invaded. You know, if you don't want to be touched, you don't want to be touched. If you don't want anyone to push your head, you know, punch you in the face, no one likes those things. Why? Because it's your own personal space and you want to maintain control of your own personal space. And that's not just limited to human beings. That's any living organism. There's a certain amount of control we like to have over our own domain. And when you're oppressed, when you're a slave, you don't have that control. Other individuals are controlling your reality. They are controlling your experiences, your physical experiences. So many individuals were raped during slavery. You know, if we're talking specifically about African people, so many people were raped. Men were raped. That's something that really isn't discussed. But yes, a lot of men were raped. We know women were raped. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Children, boys and girls were raped. These are all examples of individuals' space being violated. The integrity of their space being violated. Not good, folks. Not good. The Africans in Haiti killed a lot of Europeans, men, women, and children, for their freedom. A good thing. A good thing. Because of all the points I just mentioned. Nobody wants to be subject to anyone else. So much so that they don't have any kind of integrity over their own space. You want to have control of who touches you and how you're touched and whether or not you're mistreated. Nobody wants to be mistreated. I'm not hearing any kind of conversation about when violence should and should not be used amongst African people. Black people, at least here in the States, shy away from violence for the most part. I'm not talking about the children many times that we see, the misguided children that we see in the inner cities that are just senselessly killing each other. I'm talking about, again, I use Dylan Storm Roof, or I can use this latest incident in Texas. Black people should have been up in arms in that community as soon as they heard of what happened. That white man, that white neighbor should have been dealt with. You should have had some brothers go up to the house and be like, look, you are going to issue an apology to this woman and her child or else. There shouldn't have been no police involvement at all. This is what you call self-respect. Violence as a tool to be used is not up for discussion amongst Black people because Black people have been taught to not retaliate against physical mistreatment. Black people have been taught to turn the other cheek. Black people have been taught that it is of something that is higher and more godly to allow yourself to be abused. And what I'm saying is that this is not anything to be admired. This is something to be ashamed of. This is shameful. And it's quite honestly, it's disgusting. It's disgusting when you have people that are so brainwashed. They won't even protect themselves. If you are not willing to protect yourself, then the universe says that you are not fit to live. And you won't live that long because you will get ran over. You really will. And black people have been ran over. You don't want to be ran over. You don't want to be abused. You want to have dignity. You want to, you want to be respected. You want your space. You want your body to be respected. And black bodies are not respected in the system of racism, white supremacy, period. And black people are not discussing. Black people are not having proper discussions about violence. Black people's relationship with violence is one of, oh, no, it's bad. And, you know, I don't need to learn how to shoot a gun. I don't need to learn self-defense. You know, God, you know, let's put it in God's hands. I do not think that's correct. And we are not going to end mistreatment of black people or black bodies if we don't think very seriously about there being some consequences for, you know, private citizens to just abuse black people. Like I said before, that white neighbor, I'm telling you, the black men, hell, maybe even some of the women too, black men and black women together collectively should visit that man's house and let them know that there will be an apology issued or else. If there was enough self-respect amongst us, that would happen right away. To the extent that violence can be used to protect you and, you and your space, the space that you take up on this planet, is how much you need to be willing to use it to counter direct mistreatment against yourself. You see, too many of us are out of shape. We can't fight. We wouldn't have the lungs to engage in a one-on-one fight. Too many of us are eating ourselves to death. Get in the gym. Run 2 miles a day. Start training. I'm telling you, part of, you know, being respected, you have to be able to defend your space. And many black people can't do that. We are in a position, we are like little children having to call on white people to protect us, to keep us nice and warm, nice and safe, keep the little nigger safe. Someone has to take care of little Ezra. Don't you worry about it, little Ezra. Us good Christian crackers, we'll protect you. We'll save you, little Ezra. You just keep singing your songs. You just keep entertaining us. Don't worry about the hard stuff. Because that little pea brain of yours, you probably aren't capable of worrying about the hard stuff. We don't want you to hurt your head. We don't want you to hurt yourself. Because, you know, that's the reason why black people don't read, by the way, is because it makes our heads hurt. But yeah, don't worry about the hard stuff, Ezra. You just be a nice, good, dancing, happy little nigger. Know your place, Ezra. And everything will be fine. Oh, yes. That's what they think of us. And too many of us, we perpetuate those ideas because we play into them. We need to stop that. Again, to the extent that violence can be used to protect you and your space, the space that you take up on this planet, is how much you need to be willing to use it to counter direct mistreatment against yourself. If a racist becomes confrontational Be smart and leave. But never let the integrity of your space as a human being be undermined. That's the whole point, folks. Like I said just a minute ago, run 2 miles a day. Get into the gym. There's so many martial arts training classes. Sign up for one. Let's get active. Learn how to shoot a gun. Black people, there are too many black people that have, it's very irritating. And again, it's just a sign that we are a people that truly still do not understand the, you know, our geopolitical situation. You are living in a world dominated by racism, white supremacy. We still don't understand that. And we don't have enough self-respect to acknowledge that as a whole. And so, you know, you have all these white people can take care of themselves. So many white people are smart when it comes to defending themselves, defending their homes. White people are knowledgeable about their surroundings. White people are, they're learners. They're always learning. They're always training. Signs of self-respect. People taking the time to protect, there's that word again, to protect themselves. White people are competent in the atmosphere. White people are competent in self-defense. They know how to shoot. They know how to protect themselves and their families with weapons. And again, you have an ability to do so. You should do it. Because history has shown us that people, the weak, are taken advantage of. History has shown us that. And black people are weak. And I don't see us collectively doing anything to strengthen ourselves. So come on, folks, we have to get with it. We have to re-examine our relationship with violence. It is not bad. It's not evil. Violence sometimes is necessary. Teach your children how to defend themselves. Teach your children how to shoot. Black people had this thing of, oh, well, you know, I don't want my baby touching no gun. And no, that's crazy talk. That is talk of someone that's cowardly, very cowardly. And that's how slaves talk. That's how people talk that are not really serious about taking on the responsibilities of truly being free. And you know what? Maybe we don't want to be free. Maybe I'm the fool. Because hell, we've been here for 500 plus years. You know, it's baffling to me that I have to say these things, that black people are not collectively understanding what I'm saying. When I'm talking about self-respect and having the self-respect to protect oneself, protect one's family, protect one's community, just doing the basics. Some people, you know, a group of people, you don't know anything about them, wanting to trade. Just instinctively, why wouldn't you just play it safe and just find out everything you can about those people and not exposing your full self, not exposing your communities completely to the point to where they can be taken advantage of, not exposing what you have so they can use time to trick you into thinking that they're your friends, but to counter anything that you may have that may prevent them from imposing their will on you at some later date. See, it's stuff like that that is baffling to me. I mean, what did African people, you know, 500 plus years ago, were they not aware of white people's history? I mean, did they not, were there not books or were there, I don't know. Like, I'm sure there had to be some kind of a way at some point of finding out the true intentions of Europeans before it became too late. And everyone, you know, in the Native Americans case, everyone had been almost wiped out. Or in the Africans case, you know, millions had been taken as slaves to the New World. So we have to get ourselves together and we have to start having self-respect and start taking on responsibilities of free people, because freedom is not given to you. It is earned. And my analysis of the black people is that you do not have enough black people that are willing to put the work in to truly be free. And the sad truth is that maybe we are people that are destined to never be truly free again. I hope that is not the case. All right, folks, that's the end of the show. I hope you all enjoyed it and found it constructive. Remember, catch the show every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. And archives of the show are available on www.CobrasInAction.org. This is RG Reed signing off. Until next time, peace.